Technorama episode 439, that burnt tongue feeling.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
After Bruce Wayne's parents were murdered, where did they bury the bodies?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am fantastic. How about you?
I'm awesome. There are no in-studio guests this week. Unfortunately, everybody had other plans. I suspect they're resting up or saving up for the pool party on Saturday, I hope.
So there may not be a Technorama next week.
Depends how the party goes. No, we should be fine by Sunday night, I'm pretty sure. You know, I got to be at church, too, on Sunday morning. So, you know, there's always that.
Look a little disheveled, didn't
Brains.
Stop bothering me with your questions.
Can I borrow some more extra of that wine? Can I come back for seconds?
Little hair of the dog, man.
All right, we're going to get right into this because coming up in this episode, we have I am definitely scanning more QR codes. We have presidential candidates are nerds too. And oh, those Japanese. Last week it was the Belgians. This week it's the Japanese.
They're invading.
We got a slug of them, to say the least.
A
yes.
Slug? Is that a metric slug?
A slug. It's a metric slug.
I'm free. I'm open.
Oh, damn. Oh, I love turducken. I've done turducken for 2 years now. I don't remember what those are. How do we get on food? Is this the Food Network?
We can stretch anything into Technorama.
I know. Chuck is losing it. He needs vacation time.
Let's promote him to manager.
You keep talking, I'll keep listening.
Well, there goes that.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Guess when that was recorded with Michael R. Menengay?
2008.
2006.
Oh, so close.
That was made right before. That clip is older than our opener.
Yes, it is.
Because yes. It was recorded. The opener was recorded, I think, in June or July of 2006. And that clip comes from April.
In the house you're living in.
Yes, but I think it was the old board. I don't think it was this new modern digital one. We had different setup back then.
But oh, it the was metadata in this that house, goes along with that clip.
And if I recall, it was a single. It was still two bedrooms at the time, so it wasn't this fancy built out thing. Oh my!
Hey, be sure to put that in the the history of Technorama. We need to go edit that Wikipedia page.
When I write the book.
Yeah, when you write the book.
The book of Technorama. Hey, right. We've got some voicemail.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Letters. Boom, 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 oh, we get letters. Boom, 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 we get your letters every day. Mailman.
Here comes Mike Menengay. Oh, boy.
Those
not yet.
Letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got.
Here he goes.
Oh, boy. Mailman. Mail today.
Sure does sound like him.
It does sound like him, doesn't it?
Oh, hey, Technorama crew, it's SF Edwards, who, hopefully you guys remember as old Sean from Edwards from, you know, that other show. I'm actually getting back into podcasting again. I was recommended to listen to you guys by Keith Lane over on TG Geeks. I thought I would come on over and say hello. It's been a while. It was cool to hear you guys on the
podcast. Hey, welcome
again.
To the pod.
And I'm definitely going to be subscribing and hopefully in continuing some of the old news I used to do. And did the message seriously ask if I was going to send a fax? Wow.
Yes.
How you know what? Yes. Seriously.
I will talk to you soon. SF Edwards out.
Because that's the way we roll on Technorama. Old school is old school rules. What's our motto?
inner geek. I don't know.
Geek beat fun. It. Yeah. We have a marketing issue, clearly.
Yeah. Or lack of that thereof.
He left us a second one. And we are thankful to Keith Lane from TG Geeks to recommend listeners. And it looks like we've inherited yet another slicer.
He's only doing that because he's on this show, too.
Who, Keith?
Yeah.
He's on like five shows now. Keith and Ben, they're all over the place. Oh, we can't make it because we burned ourselves out on podcasting with other people this weekend, and you're just last on the list. Well, at least the last on the calendar.
So Ben and Keith are pod omnipresent?
Stop making up words. SF Edwards has another one.
Hey, Technorama crew, it's SF Edwards again. So listening to episode 438, getting caught up with you guys. I know you guys have some issues with some of the pronunciations, but
he's Rutan, calling you out, man.
For Rutan, maybe it's just me because, you know, the Arrow background, and I used to work down the street from him. But come on, Bert, you didn't get Bert Rutan correct? And yes, that is a used to. While it used to be Sean from Edwards, and now just SF Edwards, no longer in Edwards anymore, folks. Now I'm up in the Pacific Northwest, working for a different aviation agency. So
starts
I don't
with a
know
B.
If you guys are interested in me resurrecting the news from flight test land.
Hell yes!
Give me a holler, let me know, and I'd love to contribute. SF Edwards out.
If you go to our website, there's an application you can download and submit. You can fax it in.
Job application.
you can fax it in.
That's what the fax is for. Yeah, no, we definitely are interested. A contributor, Craig. When's the last time we had a contributor?
I don't know.
Yeah, you can just hear the crickets. Look at that dead line on the waveform right there.
Wow. I don't know.
Another letter from our listeners.
Wait a minute. Not
yes,
so fast.
What?
Is this going to cost us anything?
Is what going to cost us anything? The listener line? Or the contributors? I'll pay them the same I pay you. In fact, I'll pay them double what I pay you.
Okay. Wait. No.
We also have feedback from our last week's question. What was the worst comic book or superhero name? We got some Facebook and Twitters and other things. Among them are John, who writes in from a Deadpool special. There was one called The Wizard.
Wizard.
Like he has to go to the bathroom fairly frequently, but bladder control problem, man.
Right.
Gary went off the handle and he started writing a whole bunch of them. Black Goliath, Circus of Crime, Squirrel Girl. I like that one. Lady Deathstrike, Flatman, Great Lakes Avengers. That sounds more like a show on the History Channel. And Kid Rawhide. And then
Kid Rawhide.
I think Craig, you commented back. He said, you didn't have to list all of them.
Yeah. He just said name one. Or name one.
I said, who was the worst? Not some of the worst. Anyway, Mr. Menningay writes in Plastic Man, and Jeremy Shadowbird says Dazzler. It's not too late if you want to contribute your bad comic book character names or superhero names. Let us know. You can either send in a fax.
A fax. Actually, to be honest with you, I went looking around for some worse names.
Yeah.
And I did come across The Wizard.
I know. Yeah, there was an article on IO9 that just had a whole list of them. If you want to go, if you're really lazy, you can go cherry pick them from there.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Or
send your comments to technorama@chuckchat.com.
Because that's the kind of people we are. Hey, mm-hmm. I had an idea this week, Craig. What if we
congratulations.
Have you listened to Prairie Home Companion?
No.
Do you know who Garrison Keillor is?
Yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. I'm familiar with the show, and yes, okay. I do know who Garrison is.
Okay, you know who Garrison is. Mm-hmm. Well, on public radio, he does this clip. It used to be at noon on the station I listened to back in Wisconsin, called The Writer's Almanac. Are you familiar mm-hmm. with that clip?
I've heard of it, yes.
I think we should do On This Day in History in the style of Garrison Keillor, Writer's Almanac. Should we try it out and see how it goes? If it doesn't work, we'll just get the marching band back.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
On this day in history for June 24th, 2015. This is the 175th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 190 days left in 2015.
Oh no!
It was on this date in 109 AD. I remember it, I'm that old. That Roman Emperor Trajan inaugurates the Aqua Traiana, an aqueduct that channels water from Lake Bracciano, 40 kilometers northwest of Rome.
Your turn.
I need to read it like that.
Give it a try, then we'll move on.
Also, in 1374.
He whistles when he says S's, by the way.
Okay.
1374.
A sudden outbreak of St. John's dance. What? Caused people in the streets of Aachen, Germany to experience hallucinations and begin to jump and twitch uncontrollably until they collapse from exhaustion.
I love it. That was awesome. So before our listeners fall asleep, let's get the band.
Yeah, bring them back in. I was going to call Spanky and have him start reading off.
That was fairly well done. I like it. At least we'll get the listeners listening again.
Yeah.
June 24th, 1497, John Cabot lands in North America at Newfoundland, leading to the first European exploration of the region since the Vikings.
The Vikings. Exactly 100 years later, the first Dutch voyage to the East Indies reaches Bentham on Java. I'm sorry. I keep thinking of the language.
On Java? Question mark. Now, you mentioned St. John's dance outbreak. It was 411 years ago today that Samuel de Champlain discovers the mouth of the St. John River, site of the Reversing Falls, and the present-day city of St. John, where people dance, I guess, New Brunswick, Canada.
And also, today, in 1717, the premier Grand Lodge of England, the first Masonic Grand Lodge in the world, now the United Grand Lodge of England, is founded in London.
I was really hoping Brian Brown would be by, because he is a Masonic guy.
Yes, that's right. I am.
So, didn't work out. He wasn't feeling well. We hope he gets better. It was on this date in 1916, Mary Pickford becomes the first female star to sign a million-dollar contract. When million-dollar contract?
$1 million. And it was 97 years ago today, the first airmail service in Canada from Montreal to Toronto.
Where are we? That same date in 1938, pieces of a meteor estimated to have weighed 450 metric tons when it hit the Earth's atmosphere and exploded, landing near Chickara, Pennsylvania.
Kenneth Arnold makes the first widely reported UFO sighting near Mount Rainier, Washington, 68 years ago today.
It was 66 years ago today that the first television western, Hopalong Cassidy, is aired on NBC starring William Boyd.
And in June 25th, 1981, the Humber Bridge is open to traffic, connecting Yorkshire and Lincolnshire. It would be the world's longest single-span suspension bridge for 17 years.
Well, think about that. That was 1981. That wasn't like 1740 or something crazy.
Yeah, right.
All right, here we go. Crack my knuckles and break my neck for this one. French geographer and author Jean-Baptiste Benoit Ayrier, I hope, born on this date in 1767.
You know, I love you and hate you at the same time. Also born in the same date in 1771. French chemist and industrialist, I did get that right, Luthry Irini, and DuPont.
The important part is chemist and DuPont. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
American astronomer Carolyn. This is Astronomer Day, I think. American astronomer Carolyn Furness was born 146 years ago today.
Hey, I think I can get this one. Walt Disney's brother and co-founder of the Walt Disney Company, Rory O. Disney, was born today in 1893.
English astronomer and author Fred Hoyle, isn't he the guy who made the card games? Would have been 100 today.
I think he is, isn't he? And another astronomer. Okay.
They get easier.
You threw me off with the card thing. Another astronomer, Archie Roy, is born today in 1924.
Let's just call this International Astronomer Day because astronomer Carolyn Shoemaker, the one about Shoemaker Levy 9,
Schumacher, isn't it?
Oh, well, whatever. Yes, that's why I threw in David Levy in there.
That's right.
If it was easier, it'd be called Cobbler. She turns 86 today.
And finally, an odd birthday coincidence from Hollywood. The original RoboCop, Peter Weller, celebrates his 68th birthday today, while his co-host, Nancy Allen, turned 65, and neither of them are astronomers.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And that's the way... Oh, wait. Can we do it the other way? Like this.
The other way. Oh.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for June 24th, 2015. We hope that you live well, scrub your input,
and sanitize your SQL statements.
Pack up your hard drives.
You sounded like Walter Cronkite there for a minute.
That's the way it was.
I can only do so many old guy voices.
I know, right? Remember when?
All right, right out of the gate. Where is it?
And the good news keeps on coming.
There
Breaking
we go.
News.
Breaking news. We broke with something.
Yeah, no, we broke something. I gotta tell you, I'll do this one.
Okay.
Star Wars Anakin Skywalker arrested after crazy car, I should say pod chase. No, car chase. So Jake Lloyd, the actor who played the young Anakin in Star Wars The Phantom Menace, was arrested. TMZ has learned, this is a TMZ article, after an insane car chase that ended with Jake plowing into some trees. So the cops say that Lloyd was driving in Charleston, South Carolina, like they haven't had enough crazy stuff going on in this last couple weeks. When sheriff's deputies began pursuing him, the chase was underway and it went on for miles into another county. And deputies say Jake began passing cars on the double yellow line and began driving recklessly at high speeds. He eventually lost control of his car, which ran off the road, through a fence into a wooded area where it struck several trees. I thought it said struck several trees. So he's only 26.
He's 26 already.
Yeah. So he's 26. Of course they credit him in the article as also starred in Jingle All the Way. If this adding insult to injury, this whole
wait, there's a YouTube clip. How long is this?
That's the
couple
pod
minutes
race thing. That's you don't need to see that.
No, the Jingle All the Way clip.
Oh,
yeah. Never mind. We'll throw that in later.
I did forget he was the little boy in Jingle All the Way. So, yeah, you know, just when you think he's faded from stardom, you know, here he is again.
Well. You know, how many child actors in Hollywood have gone on to do such wonderful things? Todd Bridges.
Yeah.
And many others. Just watch, like, what's the channel? UTV?
The Brady Bunch.
No, the True TV? They've got all of them there. You know, Tanya Harding and the whole bunch of them.
Well, you know, and the whole Brady Bunch went on to do great things other than Brady Bunch, right?
Right, right. Hey, here's one that I heard while I was in San Diego last week. I actually heard this on the radio and then saw it on the newsfeed and thought, oh, that's too good. Guy dresses up as his girlfriend to take a tough exam in her place. A love-struck 20-year-old recently made headlines after he was caught sneaking into an examination hall dressed up like a girl. When questioned, Ian Jadimov, close enough, confessed that he was trying to take an exam on behalf of his 17-year-old girlfriend. Ian revealed that his lady friend was totally stressed over the unified national testing, an exam used for college admissions in Kazakhstan. He tried to calm her down and encouraged her, but positive talk didn't work. So he decided to impersonate her and take the exam in her place, since he had recently taken it anyway. The young man, I clicked on something. The article went backwards. The young man wore a black wig, put on makeup, and squeezed into his girlfriend's clothes, a white blouse and gray skirt before attempting to enter the exam room.
Story's taking a turn.
Mm-hmm. And he's not a very good-looking woman either. But, you know, that's not to say all the women in Kazakhstan.
To be honest with you, I think he almost passes for a little bit.
That's just it. He almost did pass until they asked him a few questions. His voice betrayed him immediately. He tried speaking in a high voice, but it was obvious that this was a male, a spokeswoman for the exam board told the media. We suspected it might be another woman that had taken the candidate's place, but we never suspected it was a man that had taken
Adam's
her place.
Adam's apple threw him off.
Well,
he was betrayed by his Adam's apple.
At least not until he started speaking. Ian was fined nearly $2,000 for his trickery, but as the story spread, he became an icon of romance among the nation's youth. He became so popular that he actually earned the nickname Romantic of the Year. Young girls are now swooning over Ian. Oh, my. Okay. Now, the worst part is his girlfriend has to wait another year. So she was stressing out before, but she has to wait anyway.
I just got stressed out for a year.
Uh-huh.
Here you go. Here's where his first mistake was. He tried to calm her down and encourage her. Okay. He tried to reason with a 17-year-old girl.
Everything will be okay.
Stupid.
No.
Stupid. Yeah. No, it'll never work.
Yeah. Thanks, Ian. Yeah. You make life interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Today is, as we record this, Father's Day in the United States. Happy Father's Day, Craig.
Happy Father's Day to you as well.
Thank you. And many of us have taken pictures and posted them on Facebook and other social media networks. Well, this family took one earlier this week and got threats. Yes, it's a nice picture. I really wish we had the video feed, but we'll get into that in just a minute. It's a nice picture of dad dressed up as Batman, little boy dressed up as Robin, and this little boy is really cute. He's probably 18 months old, making the snooty face, you know, the whole thing. And mom's tied to the railroad tracks. Well, mock tied to the railroad tracks. And they're supposed to be rescuing her. Well, that didn't go over so well on social networks. And people said, you've put the baby in danger. We're going to burn down your house. You know, just all kinds of... It's like you couldn't... What is it with people online who think there's a certain amount of anonymity to
their... How is that baby in danger?
Well, these don't look like abandoned tracks. You're on railroad tracks. Playing on and around railroad tracks, A, it's trespassing. Do you know that? You're not supposed to... be on railroad tracks unless you're a train.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trespassing, which is illegal, and train could come along. You don't know. People get stuck in weird situations. So there is an element of risk here. That I'm not debating. What I am debating is the approach people take to say that was wrong.
It's too easy to shame people in social media nowadays and be anonymous yourself about it. You know, you're probably right to a larger degree, but honestly, I don't have a problem with this. Do you? But
the guy said, really? We had no idea it was illegal. I've never been on a railroad before. I'll never be on a railroad again. We don't hang out on them. I get where people are coming from, but I don't think the message was well crafted at all. That's putting it mildly.
People knee jerk too easy on social media.
There were less aggressive ways to communicate that. Yes, I agree. So... grow up, people.
They should have tied her to the front of a car and
strapped her to a rocket.
Yeah.
There, Junior.
Yeah.
That's next year's picture.
Yeah. No, it's cute. And they all got smiles on their face. I don't have a problem with it. Do you?
The picture's cute.
Yeah.
However, the method needs to be thought out. I've done stupid things in my youth, too. Looking back, they could have gotten me in a lot of trouble. So take it with a grain of salt. Fortunately, the people who told me back then crafted a very well message, and I'm still friends with them today. Anyway, we're not going to go into
constructive.
Yeah,
constructive.
We're not going into details on that. We're going to the birthday calendar because we have a lot of them. It seems like there's a lot of late June babies. June 25th is the birthday of two people: Mark Shepard, longtime listener. I'm not going to give you his birthday because that would be privacy invasion, but it is on the wiki, so
I'm
maybe...
I'm a C-invasion. on a railroad track.
Also, Jim Guckin from Philadelphia, PA. June 26th, Patrick Norton and daughter of Will the Computer Guy. Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. I found those things, if Will ever calls in again. that we can use them. I found a whole bunch of files today that were still in AIFF, and I forgot Winamp doesn't play those. So I've been and that was like the default output when we put all these things together back in GarageBand days in 2005 and 6 and 7.
So encode them into a nice MP3 or something.
Well, that's how I got like that Michael R. Menengay thing at the top of the show. That was an AIFF. Anyway, back to the birthday calendar. June 27th, Jordan Burkhead, daughter of Chip Burkhead from the Scotch Cast. 29th is Martin McKay. Ah, this is the big 40. Whenever he put that on the blog in the last 8 years, 10 years.
Ten years ago.
Yeah. Now he's probably, the big 50. We have to see Martin next time we're in the San Francisco area. If he's still there. And finally, two birthdays on the 30th. AD Dude, a.k.a. Alexis Duran, and C.A. Sizemore, who is a local to this area. Used to be a listener slice. Don't know if he's still a listener to Technorama, but we'll find out. So happy birthday to all y'all. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you did. And it almost natural.
If it's your birthday and you're not on the wiki, happy birthday to you. If it's if you're a father, happy birthday. I mean, happy Father's Day.
Happy birthday.
I'm just throwing birthdays out. You're a winner. You're a winner. We're all winners. And obviously, everybody has a father, so happy Father's Day to them, too. But anyway, go back to chuckchat.com/wiki. Put your name on the birthday calendar, not on the Father's Day thing. And we'll give you a shout-out at the appropriate time of year. This is getting too silly. We need to get out of here, take a quick break, and we'll be back with more hackiness and strange storiness. And Craig's going to tell us what he did at HeroesCon.
Uh-huh.
Sound fun? We'll be right back.
He can compile C with his bare hands. He speaks the binary language of moisture evaporators in three dialects. He invented binary. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friends.
Hi, this is T. Morris of Billabob Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword and Podcasting for Dummies. And you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. Magic missile, magic missile, magic missile.
Another one that I encoded and re-encoded and discovered that we haven't heard for many, many moons.
I think they need to update theirs, by the way, him, T, and Pip.
He's still stuck on the book in 2008.
You know, we should probably come up with a calendar and it goes, okay, now it's time to get so-and-so to update theirs and so-and-so to update theirs.
We just start harassing people. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not podcasting anymore.
Just update it.
Send it. Send it.
Just fax it in. Okay.
Hi, this is Bill. Currently unemployed. Listen to Technorama, but I'm not because I'm unemployed. I don't have any bandwidth.
Let's do the Hacks and Strange Stories. I mean, the Hacks and Strange Stories.
Thanks, Lanny.
I am definitely going to be scanning more QR codes in the future if this is a trend. Heinz accidentally...
Is that a euphemism for something else?
What, scanning QR codes?
Yes.
Well,
scan more codes. You know what I mean?
An old bottle of ketchup caused a bit of condiment controversy in Germany. Daniel Carell scanned a QR code of a bottle of Heinz hot ketchup last month and ended up at a hardcore porn site called Fundorado.com.
Hey, that's some hot ketchup.
Yeah, hot ketchup indeed. The company ran a promotion campaign between 2012 and 14, which asked customers to scan their bottles to enter a label design contest. Once the contest was over, the porn site bought the expired domain name.
Oops.
He posted the above image on Heinz's Facebook page, complaining about the mishap. Quote, "Even if the bottle was a leftover, it's still in lots of households," Carell said, according to the UPI. "It's incomprehensible that you didn't reserve the domain for 1 or 2 years. A domain name really doesn't cost the earth." I think something got lost in transit.
A .de.
A .de domain name really doesn't cost the earth. Like I said, right. Something got lost in translation there. The company has since apologized, offering him a chance to design his own bottle of ketchup as compensation. Here's one with a hot dog on it. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Here's a ketchup bottle. Looks like mustard.
we very much regret the incident and will gladly take up your suggestion for the implementation of future campaigns, they wrote in the comments section. Blown off. The ketchup would be sent to him free of charge. I'll probably suffer no permanent damage, he replied, but I appreciate your offer. And the porn site, which he was directed to, has also stepped forward with an offer, taking advantage of all the publicity.
Yes,
in a comment on his post, they joke that perhaps the QR code was meant to be on a bottle of Heinz Purple Ketchup Easy Squirt. And they want to give him a year's subscription to their site.
Yeah. Hey, he can take them both up on their offers.
Keep scanning, kids.
Yeah.
On a food topic, more Hacks and Strange Stories from the food Food Network. We kind of have certain themes running through this show today.
Yeah.
Purely by accident and coincidence. Oh, for the Japanese. What was it? Last week it was the Belgians.
The heck am I looking at?
They're texting. Yeah, wait. And they're texting lane. There's also now steps in schools that have walk, run, and text. So there's. So have you heard of people bathing in milk and honey and wine and whatever else is in search of that secret ingredient so they can have the wonders for the skin? The latest in the list is ramen noodles. When you think of that flawless skin tone and complexion, the Japanese are the first thing that comes to mind. Unisan Spa House in Hakone, a southeastern town of Japan, is now offering ramen baths for its clients. The bath contains ramen pork broth, which is collagen and synthetic noodles, and is believed, get rid of this ad that just popped up in my face, and is believed to greatly enhance your metabolism and improve the skin. Patrons dip themselves into these bathtubs and expose their bodies to tons and tons of collagen.
Hey, I bet those kids taste like chicken.
I was just going to say a Soylent Green thing. It was like, made of bee balm!
That's right.
The Japanese are known to come up with innovative ways to get just that beautiful, perfect skin. They are also known to be the ones who introduce the world to the benefits of collagen on skin. So take it for what it's worth. Ramen may be the next thing. It's a good thing those noodles are cheap, like 25 cents a packet, so I can go get a ton of them.
I know.
Maybe that's what we'll have at the pool party.
Fill the pool up with some ramen, make it ramen soup.
Speaking of soup, we want you to join us on Sunday night when we usually record this, but unfortunately, we are having some technical difficulties and we need your help. The video feed is temporarily offline. YouTube changed their protocol in Wirecast, and Wirecast 4 no longer works. Surprise! Yeah, that was our surprise about 10 minutes before showtime last week. So 438 and 439 are not online. It's up
Chuck
to you.
Chuck was like, what isn't this authenticating? I can't
What's
click
an error
it?
410? And Craig goes and Googles. He says, YouTube changed their API from version 2 to version 3, and somehow we missed the memo. So we could use your help. The cost to upgrade the software is about $400. And if you want to see Craig interact with the show, so he can use his phone as an IP camera instead of just the still pictures, that means we got to upgrade to Wirecast Pro, which is about $700 instead of $400. So we are going to start a fund. If you want to help bring the video feed back, go to chuckchat.com, click on Technorama, scroll down a bit, and on the right-hand side, you'll see that wonderful PayPal button that says one-time donation. That'd be really great. We appreciate your help. I hate begging for money, but it's come to this.
If this is any incentive, either do this, we're going to do a Kickstarter. So
you really don't want to see us do a Kickstarter.
It's in your hands. Yeah.
The audio feed will remain unaffected and still work. We recognize a fair number of you, however, are watching the video because quite a few things happen on the video that don't make it to the audio show. Like what happens before when Mike or Brian or Ben and Keith are chit-chatting around here. And we also include photos that go along with the stories, like some of those things that would have been nice on this show to show, you know, the noodle baths and things. So, like I said, I really hate begging like a telethon, but We want to make sure.
Call now.
That you're aware of what's going on here.
Call now.
No, don't call.
Be the third caller.
And send your fax.
We're not giving anything away. We want stuff.
We're trying to offset the cost of this fairly pricey piece of software we inherited. And version 4 just ain't cutting it for us anymore. So we need your help. Thank you. Media Corner time.
We love you, by the way.
Not going to dwell on that. Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
We have an article about Jaws, 40 years of bad science, and how Jaws got everything wrong. Remember when Jaws came out in 75? Well, you were just a wee tyke in 75, so you probably didn't see it.
I've seen Jaws. Give me a break.
Not in the theaters, Jaws.
I saw Jaws 3D in the theater.
Wasn't that the one on Back to the Future that came out of the screen and almost ate him?
No, that was Jaws 19.
With really bad graphics?
Yeah, that was Jaws 19 on Back to the Future.
Anywho, Jaws is coming back to the theaters, the original one.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Because it's going to celebrate its 40th anniversary.
Oh, the 21st.
Hey, that's like today.
If as I'd we record known, this.
Dang. Man. Okay, maybe it'll be in a few more theaters for a little longer. I can't believe it's been 40 years already. I am old. Anyway, the point of this article is they scared people out of the waters. They also scared people into like killing sharks for just killing sharks' sake. Like, oh, we're going to make the beaches safe. We have to kill all the sharks. Not realizing their value in the ecosystem. So in one sense, it had this crazy swing one way to people were killing sharks. And on the other hand, it raised public awareness. And there's a lot of oceanographers and marine biologists who can trace their interests back to this movie saying, you know, if it weren't for Jaws, I wouldn't have gotten interested in sharks and actually starting to save them. So,
well, Indiana Jones had that effect on people just with archaeology.
Oh, it did.
Yes, absolutely. People got into archaeology because of, Indiana Jones. Of course, it wasn't as swashbuckling as the movies, but
yeah, that's true.
But there, you know, there's always the riddle.
Man, there's a lot of library time. This is
people got into ghost busting because of, well,
all right, you can stop there. I'm going to read a quote from Oliver Jewell, a PhD candidate studying great white sharks at Royal Netherlands Institute for Sea Research. I saw the movie when I was about 5. Wow, that's crazy. It was probably the biggest early life influence on my career choice. The most captivating thing for me was the shark itself. The idea that there were these huge and magnificent animals out there and that nobody knew anything about them really hooked me. Hooper, a marine biologist in Jaws Revenge, were all inspirational to me because they did what I wanted to do. And that's what a lot of these people were saying. Hooper was like one of the first nerd scientists to show up in one of these major motion pictures. When you think about it, I went, wow, that's, you know, I still credit those early days of watching Jaws as inspiration, although sometimes a little shyly. I'm well aware many others used the movie to justify killing millions of sharks across the globe. For me, I hope I've used that early inspiration to change as many people's negative perceptions on sharks as possible, both through my research and tourism work. So a lot of these people that were out killing sharks are now like on speaking tours saying, no, you know, that really probably wasn't the smartest idea we've ever done.
It's not. Yeah. What was that? I can't always make the joke about, was it Deep Blue? What they made the shark, smart sharks.
What? I must have missed that one. Craig, you watch some interesting movies, man.
you got to see that movie. But it's just, I even got Harrison saying that's just a stupid idea to make. I think they were looking for, what was it?
Smart sharks. So does that mean that Bluetooth and sends information to the cloud? Smart
sharks. No, they were looking for, I think they were working on Alzheimer's cure or something. And it was something to do with the shark brain.
Okay.
I need to go watch it again. But anyway, they ended up making smart sharks. So it wasn't just like, you know, a shark was just trying to eat you. He was out for a reason to eat you. I mean, he had a reason.
And just in case you weren't jawed enough, there's a Jaws toy so you can reenact Quint's death scene from Jaws. It's got the little Quint stuffed in the shark, great white shark's mouth. Yeah. It's from Funko. Yeah, this is probably not the best toy to give your kids, but you know, there's been better. I'll bet this will be a collector's item soon. At least
you know what, this ranks up there with Nightmare Before Christmas when they gave out the horrible Christmas.
Yeah, it's like the dead head, the severed shrunken head.
Snake starts coming out. Yep. There's Quint and a shark.
And speaking of old movies finally making it to the theaters, the Chinese are finally going to get Star Wars Episode 4 in theaters.
I'm just waiting for them to re-release Solar Babies.
What? China?
No, us. I mean, everything else is coming back in the theater, right?
Usually the blockbusters there, Craig.
Do you remember Solar Babies?
No, and that's a good thing. Okay.
It made people want to go out and become roller skaters as a profession.
So it's taken 40 years for Star Wars to reach Chinese movie theaters. God bless them. Let's move on. Enough said about that. Geek Library. Alert. We get to play our new Geek Library thing.
For you Chinese listeners out there.
From the depths of the Technorama archives comes the Geek Library.
Was that nerdy enough?
That's actually
inspirational
good.
Enough.
Yeah.
I just did that on the fly. Kind of like hacks and strange stories.
Yeah, that's right.
You just have to get close to the microphone and you talk better. I am talking gooder now. Anyway.
Oh, really? Does it work?
We have a veritable cornucopia of presidential candidates out there in the United States because election season is over a year away.
Right. Combined, and there are like 40.
Yeah, there are. Well, Jeb Bush, who is, a nephew of George W. Bush? He's in the brother. Bush family somewhere. But brother?
Yeah.
Of W? Okay. Yes. Anyway, shows what I'm paying attention to already. It's election day is still many, many months away, which leaves plenty of time to critique the presidential candidates on every tiny detail of their online campaigns. Already, we've seen some meme-worthy logos, domain name fails, and battle over who has the most creative 404 page. Hillary wins. Did you see that one?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's like when Chelsea was about 5 years old and they're at Disney World with Donald Duck and they've got their duck hats on. And
right.
It's some pun about things might be all quacked up or something. I can't remember what it is, but you have to go look at it. Anyway, okay. Donald Trump pretty much broke the internet as soon as he stepped onto the escalator Tuesday in a Periscope convention in New York. But Jeb Bush also managed to set himself apart from the crowded pack this week by inserting the synopsis of the 1988 movie Die Hard into the source code of his campaign website.
Why? I'm just curious. Okay, I mean.
The strange part was it says also starring Severus Snape, you know, because Alan Rickman is in the movie, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes.
I mean,
I understand. I like Easter eggs and stuff like that, but this doesn't seem like it jives together. I don't know.
Die Hard?
And Jeb Bush. I don't understand why.
It kind of makes you want to go read the view source code. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It has since been deleted from the page, but the screenshot lives on. Why they chose Die Hard remains a mystery. It's most likely an accident or filler text. I'm thinking the webmaster might have had fun because these guys don't do it themselves, you know. They're hiring that out, and I can picture some Cheeto-eating guy in his basement doing this.
It could have been something terrible. So, yes, that was, you know, you start getting somebody monkeying around in your source code. They could do anything.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton just had a sample ASCII code. She's got like her logo, which is the H and the arrow thing. Rand Paul has an ad asking people to volunteer for their campaign.
Hey, that's kind of smart in itself.
I like Carly Fiorina. Remember Carly from HP?
Yes.
A domain that was swooped up by a troll includes a hidden demon sheep. It's Fenton. We got to tell Tom Smith. Fenton found Carly's website.
Right. Look, I like how the sheep has the eyebrows going down.
Right. We'll have to ask Tom if we can play Fenton the Death Sheep from Hell on there.
Yes.
On the show.
Yeah.
I asked him. I have an idea, Craig. Because, you know, our live show, it's not too early to start promoting Dragon Con, right?
It's true.
Our live show combined with Comedy Forecast is going to be at 5 p.m. On Friday.
Again?
Yeah.
Again?
What, we're combining or we're in Hilton 203?
We're in 203 this year.
Well, we were in 204 until they moved us next door last
year. That's
right. We're in the old science room.
Actually, I preferred 203 better than 204.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't hear the sirens as much. Anyway.
And the ceiling.
Where was I going with this? Oh, the show is at 5 p.m. So we've been moved.
The ceiling stayed in place. 203.
What?
The ceiling stayed in place in 203.
It only fell apart one year.
I know, but it's the running joke.
Okay.
Just go with it.
Yeah, one person's out there laughing, Craig. Well, that's half of our listeners.
The dude it fell on.
That's half our listeners.
Yeah.
Anyway, 5 p.m. So we're going to be done by 6. And usually what happens after the show?
Drinking.
We go downstairs in the Hilton and we people watch, we drink, we laugh, we have fun in that little restaurant. If we're starting that at 6 p.m., I don't know that's such a good idea. We could be there in a while.
Wait an hour?
Well, no, I'm thinking we take that whole crew and we find a Tom Smith concert and invade it.
That's possible.
That's possible. And then we can go do our celebrating either before or right after or something.
Yeah, we'll look at the schedule when we get a little closer.
Okay. So while we've got a few minutes left at the end of the show, tell me about your Heroes Con weekend. You had pictures with Mr. Awesome.
Actually, let me back up just a hair and tell you about my entire weekend, because it was Father's Day weekend and I really got to scratch a couple things off my bucket list. Well, I got to see Weird Al on Friday night.
Wow, that's weird, Al.
Yeah, it was strange. No, it was great. Great show. They did costume changes between every song almost throughout the whole thing. Yeah. They play a song, they do a song, and then they have video up on the board. When the lights came back up, everybody was in a different costume. The show was a lot of fun. It was fun hanging out with my son and two of our friends, younger friends of his, and they were all singing along with the songs, and so was I. And everybody in the whole place was just having a good time. So Weird Al was definitely go see it if you haven't seen him before. I've seen him years ago at Carowinds when I used to work there, but this was a very good show. And then I got to go see, at Heroes Con, I got to meet Stan Lee. I paid for as a part of my Father's Day weekend, we got the package where I could go get my picture taken with him and get an autograph. So I kind of made a last minute decision on what to get him to sign. I just grabbed an Avengers comic book that I had now because I started looking through my comics and I'm thinking, what would be worth having a signature on? And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to grab a book that has, he has a writing credit in and get him to sign it. And I did. So I just grabbed something. I almost took
to sound like a Batman comic book.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that because I have some oversized comics. When I say oversized, not the giant size comic book, but I'm talking like a physical large comic book. And I have one that's
Go ahead, say it. It's large print for old people.
Yeah, it's huge. They're huge. And when I say huge, it's like about two times the size of a comic book if you lay them diagonally. Anyway, so I got Battlestar Galactica. I got the Star Wars. There's two issues, and they expand the movie, the first movie, New Hope. And then I've got Superman versus Spider-Man. And oh, I swear, I almost took that just to get him to sign it. But he has no credit in it. And I was like, I don't know. I wanted him to sign something he had a credit on, but I came so close to taking that. But yeah, it was cool. The photo, you stand in line and they walked, for about an hour, really. I got through the line. And Harrison and I took the picture with him, and I'll post it on Facebook. I'll take a picture of it myself. But he's sitting in a chair. They kind of bring you in from behind, and he's just facing the camera. Because if he moves and stuff, they're going to have to reframe the shot all the time.
Yeah.
So basically, I came in, and I put my hand on his shoulder and said, "How you doing, Stan? It's a pleasure to meet you." And he said, "I don't know how I'm doing." I said, "Okay." And took our picture, and then that was about it. And then later on, I had a little bit more of a moment to shake his hand during the autograph because that's not as quite as time sensitive. There were people in line, but it wasn't that bad. And I shook his hand to him. I said, "Thanks, Stan. You've been an inspiration to me pretty much my whole life." And shook his hand and said, "Thanks." And it was cool. Hey, he was really cool with everybody. I saw him, gave a little boy a hug, being really sweet to some little girls that came through there, the line with their parents. Yes, it was very cool.
And so, to you, he just rolled his eyes and went, nerd.
That's right. There's that Superman versus Spider-Man kid.
Craig walks in wearing his Spider-Man pajamas.
Yeah. I'm going to give him credit, though. You know, he was there. He was there the night before. They had a meet and greet thing, which was way above my pay grade. And then, so I didn't do that. But he did that, and then he's there all day Saturday. And the dude's 92.
Is he 92?
It's got to be taxed. He is 92 now.
Wow. I didn't realize he was that old.
So, the last time he was here was in, the last time he was here was in 2012 for Heroes Con's 30th anniversary. And I kicked myself in the butt for not jumping at it and get a picture with him. So I said, if he comes back, I'm going to do it. And I did it. So, because, you know, at 92, how many more times is he going to come around?
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that to be mean, because I wish he would be immortal, but, you know, so it was great. Harrison got to see him. And then his two friends that were there with us, Harrison's two friends that were with us, they obviously didn't get in the picture with us or anything, but I did walk them through the line when we did the autograph. So they got to see him for a minute when we walked through.
So how do you top that? What was next? Anything else that weekend?
That weekend? That's it.
Well, no,
we did watch UHF
and you did Technorama. So a good way to round out the weekend.
Oh yeah. This is my nightcap for the weekend.
This is the candle on the birthday cake.
Yeah, that's right. But it was great to shake his hand for just a minute, you know? Oh, I want to tell you
I'll
this too.
I'll never wash this hand again.
And I do have, I know I still haven't. So, there's a Kickstarter. They were raising money to do a documentary on Heroes Con, and it focused on the year 2012. But it talked about stories about Heroes Con coming up through the years to the 30th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Stan Lee was there last time. And they had some video of that. So I'm sorry, let me back up. So, they were doing the raising money for the Kickstarter. It was successful. And it's been a long time. It's been a few years, and I was about a year and a half, and I was starting to get worried that they weren't going to come out with it. Well, I got an email, and the email said, "Okay, if you're this level of a Kickstarter contributor, you get a free day pass to Heroes Con." So I got in for free, and I got to see a screening of it. So about 4:30, they screened the film. And it's about 45 minutes, and it talks about the history. Like I said, the people that work at the comic shop, they talked about some of their personal stories about working there, as well as working at the con, and which was the natural progression of promoting the comic store,
mm-hmm.
and how it all came together. And it's really cool. Some really cool stories in there. One I'll tell you real quick is Shelton. He owns Heroes Aren't Hard to Find. And he, right after high school, or was it high school or college, he went to New York and he wanted to be a comic artist. So he went to Marvel and like just showed up. Okay, I'm ready to, you know, want to work, and went to the front desk. And she's like, well, it didn't quite work like that. And he said, well, he was hoping to meet Stan Lee and talk about working for Marvel. So she says, hold on a second. She goes in the back, comes back, says, okay, come with me. And she takes him into Stan's office. Just he sits there and talks to Shelton for a while. Turns out that was his daughter at the front desk. Stan Lee's daughter at the front desk. So she let him in, and Stan talked to him and took him back to the bullpen where all the artists are at.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget who it was that said spent a lot of time with him. Spent like an hour telling him how to submit your art and make submissions and all that kind of stuff. So it was a really cool story. But it's stories like that that really made the documentary work out. So anyway, it's coming out, and I don't know if they're going to release a DVD or anything that you can purchase afterwards. There's some rights that go along with that. They're not sure they can secure. However, they did say in one form or another, they will release it on YouTube or Vimeo at some point for everybody to see.
Very cool.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Keep your eyes for that, and let
weekend.
Our listeners know. Our question, we're going to close with our usual question. Our question this week is, What are your earliest memories of the web? Did we ask that one already? I can't keep track of these anymore. I'm trying to record when we ask these. I don't think we asked this one.
Porn.
Do you remember the website? Do you remember who you were with? Do you remember the browser? Do you remember the browser version? Tell us about that and let us know. Technorama@chuckchat.com or call the listener line 206-222-2428 or send your fax. SF Edwards thinks that's so funny. We want to hear from you. That takes us to the end of the show. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for putting up with us. This one ran a touch longer than usual. We're going to try and keep that back. And hopefully we'll have some in-studio guests again. And thank you for going to the website and kicking in for the software upgrade so we can get the video feedback online. Don't forget, chuckchat.com. Click on Technorama. Go to that one-time payment, and we will love you. We have expenses, and they are expensive. So, anything else?
But don't limit yourself to one time.
You know,
Woody, by all means.
Once a week. Any closing comments?
That's right. I'm never washing this hand.
Okay. Till next time, tell your friends about Technorama on social media and other places, and give me a binary high five.
101, everybody.
I can see where you might think this was a highly organized group, but trust me, it's not.